Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We want to welcome you here to Little Swatara. We also want to welcome our listening audience, and we are just so glad, so thankful that you are here, a part of our church body this morning. We do want to make a few notes from our bulletin. There is a CPR class that is forming, so anyone interested in taking CPR courses, there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex. Please feel free to sign up for that course, and more information will be coming forth for that. We do want to remind treasurers, if you have your checkbooks from your committees that you're a part of, to make sure you turn those in for audit as well. We need those as soon as possible, and the auditors, thank you very much for that. We also have news about annual conference. So if you're registered as a non-delegate for annual conference, you'll be receiving an automatic email that gives you a link to register for the hotel that you prefer. So annual conference will be here before you know it. But today, looking outside, it looks like God finally allowed the weather forecasters to get it right. So we want to just be rejoiceful and thank God for the awesome opportunity for the kids to be able to go sled riding and to be able to build a snowman finally and sing that song they've been wanting to sing all winter long. Do you want to build a snowman? We won't sing that here this morning, but what a wonderful song that we have the opportunity to sing with our kids. We want to invite you to stand as we sing our opening hymn, Amazing Grace, number 143. Let's pray before we do that. Father God, just thank you for this incredible opportunity to be here in this place, to be able to listen in to this message. Father, we pray your abundant blessings over each one. We ask that you would continually just impress upon us your love, and that we would turn to you, we would seek you, and we would live a life worthy of your calling. Father, be glorified in this time and in this space, and we thank you for each one. Blessings upon them. Amen. You may be seated. We indeed want to thank the Lord for the abundant grace that he gives us in our lives, for the forgiveness of the sins, for the love that he continually pours out into our lives. We want to rejoice with Rita France. She's back home again after being in the rehab center, and we're very thankful for that good news reported during the first service. We do want to continue to lift up Randy Kissling. That's Ryan's father. That has mended that relationship. They're in good terms, as was reported by Ray in the first service as well. So his throat cancer, they're predicting 6 to 8 months for him to be able to live. So we want to keep Randy in prayer. And also the list of prayer concerns that you see in your bulletin, keep that nearby as you go throughout your week and remember those individuals in prayer as well. Do we have further prayer concerns or joys that you'd like to share with us this morning?
I'd like prayers for the Megan Walmer family. She died this week.
Very unexpectedly, I hear. Yes, she was a friend of the seminary, and it took us all by shock. So yes, indeed, keep Megan Walmer in your prayers, please. Other prayer requests this morning?
I have two different ones. One of my coworkers, her name's Laureen Burns. She had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and when they did some of her testing, they found an area they think is invasive, so she has to go back for more surgery on lymph nodes this week to do more testing. Okay. And the other one, her name is Caitlin Ugaloro. She is about 31 weeks pregnant and has had very high blood pressure, and they have told her she may not work anymore. She's very stressed out about all of it.
Okay. Thank you.
I would just like to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart for all their thoughts, prayers, concerns, cards, phone calls that have come to me and my family. My father passed away on the 13th. And it's just been so uplifting to have everyone. I could just feel everybody's love throughout all of this. So I just want to say thank you so much. And as my father would say, no matter where he was, who he was talking to, praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
I would like to request prayer for my neighbor, Rick Bayshore, who just has come through an operation of cancer.
Okay, thank you. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you know each one of us better than we could ever begin to know ourselves. You know exactly how our body works. You know how each intricate part is put together. And Father, we're just praying for that pregnancy right now, Lord, that the blood pressure is high. And we're praying that in Jesus' name, you would allow that blood pressure to come down and for that pregnancy to be safe and for that baby to be able to be delivered and nothing would inhibit that. And we're just lifting up Noreen as well with cancer and the treatments that she's had and the continued treatments she'll be enduring, Lord. And we know that you are a God of miracles. And we just also lift up Randy with cancer and others that come to mind who are experiencing cancer. And we're praying, Lord, we're believing, we're trusting that you can bring total healing to these individuals that are experiencing cancer and any other type of disease. And we're asking you, Lord, to meet each of them where they are in their walk with you and just allow their lives to be transformed. Allow them to cling to the hope that they have in you and to the healing touch that can be upon their bodies, Lord, as we ask in Jesus' name for that to be done. And we just ask, Lord, for those that are in rehab, you would continue to strengthen them. You would continue to bring them back to their full function to be able to either go home or to continue a lifestyle that is as normal as possible for them. And we pray, Lord Jesus, for our listening audience, those that are listening in right now, Lord, you know their needs. You know what's going through their hearts and minds and what's happening in their families. And we pray for them, Lord, that you would just bless them and you would just continually care for them and care for each of us, Lord, as we go through this life and we experience various pains and we go through different levels of just feeling what's next. So, Lord, we turn to you and we continually ask prayers for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. We want to pray especially for the Boko Haram, Lord, that your light would shine into their darkness, that they're prevailing against our brothers and sisters, and ask that there would be peace and no more war, Lord, is what we're praying in Jesus' name. We want to lift up Megan Womer and the death that she's suddenly experienced and the family that's left behind, Lord. We pray for your abundant peace over each of them, the friends that she knew. And just, Lord, we have questions. We don't understand why these type of deaths happen so soon. But Lord, we're turning to you and we're asking for your comfort, for your peace to abide in our lives, to help us make it through yet another day. And so, Lord, we just turn to you now and look to our lives and the things that we do that often take control and help us not to live in accordance with what you would want us to. So we confess our prayers, Lord, and ask that you would indeed forgive them. For we know that you are a God that hears our prayers and a God that offers forgiveness and offers grace. So Lord, hear our prayers as we lift up a few moments of silent prayer. God, we give you our lives. We ask that you would use us. We ask that we would be able to shine your light, to be able to demonstrate your love, and to be able to say words of peace and hope to others. Lord, we know the world that we live in is full of so much evil, but Lord, let us be love. Let us be light. And we pray that you would continually be with us throughout this service, that your spirit would speak to us and allow us to be moved and to be able to live differently and to leave this place changed and transformed for your reasons, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We invite you to please stand for We Praise Thee, O God, number 99. The opposite direction. And so when he went the opposite direction, he took a ticket and he got on a ship sailing the other way. And he thought, you know what? I'm going to get as far away from God as I can. Can we ever get as far away from God? No, because God's always around us, right? So as he was doing that, there was all sorts of waves and all sorts of commotion in the sea. And he knew that it was his fault that these waves were happening. And so he told the sailors, because the sailors were pretty scared. And the captain comes down and says, you know, they're going to cast lots and do all these things to try to determine why this is happening. And so you know what they ended up doing to Jonah? They threw him overboard. Could you imagine getting thrown overboard? That in a big raging sea? Well, the sea no longer raged. The sea actually became calm. But he drifted down through and he got seaweed. You guys know what seaweed is? He got seaweed entangled around his neck. And that stuff's kind of gooey. You know, I can imagine it got in his mouth and just all sorts of, yuck, seaweed. But out of nowhere, God had a plan for Jonah, didn't he? And he was swallowed by what they call a great big fish. Sometimes we call it Jonah and the whale. But there's other great big fish that existed during Jonah's time that researchers tend to think it could have been. But can you imagine living inside a fish? What would that be like?
Nasty.
Nasty, yeah. It wouldn't be very dry in there, would it? There'd probably be a lot of like mucus and phlegm and all this like stuff that got all over you. You'd come. But something happened to Jonah. He was in there how many days? 3, 4, or 5?
3.
He was in there 3 days. Can you imagine? In the belly of a whale for 3 days. And then, essentially, the whale regurgitates him. Spits him. Yeah, he spits him out. Hawks a Louie. And he ends up on the shore of guess where? You think he was in Spain? Nah. Was he in Disney World? Nah. He didn't end up in Disney World. He wasn't even in Bethel or Harrisburg. You know where he ended up? He ended up in Nineveh. He ended up in Nineveh. Do you think he was happy about that? No, because he wanted these people to be destroyed. But God asked him again to tell them to repent, to say you're sorry for what you've been doing. And eventually they did that. And we all have that opportunity as followers of Christ to be able to ask for forgiveness as well. So that's the cool thing about God. He's a God of second chances. Can you tell all those big people out there, we serve a God of second chances? We serve a God of second chances. Amen. Yes, we do. Let's thank him. Lord, just bless these children. Just bless the opportunities that you give us to share your love. We're so thankful that we have been made different, Lord, that we don't have to follow the patterns of this world, but we can be set apart and we can just look like your son, Jesus. So just help these children to do that as they listen to their parents, even though they don't want to clean their rooms, Lord, you know, over time that they would learn that cleaning their rooms, not always such a bad thing, but being obedient to you especially is important in our lives. So bless them, bless their families, and just help us to have an incredible week this week, proclaiming your good news and sharing who you are with others. And it's in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Thanks. We take our offering this morning. Dave Ramsey gives us a thought to think about. And of course, Dave Ramsey is all about save, save, save. But he says, making a living is by what we get, but making a life is by what we give. And so I pray this morning that we would be able to find in our hearts to give abundantly, to give cheerfully, not out of guilt, but knowing that the Lord desires us to be cheerful givers. Let's pray. Lord, we're just thankful for the blessings that you give us in our lives. We know not every day is easy, but we know, Lord, you go with us and you share your love with us and you share your abundance with us. And Lord, we're just thankful for the jobs that you've given us, for the income that we can bring in. And we're praying that we would use that as a church to be able to further your kingdom and to be able to build up this community, that our faith might go outward and others might come to know you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Arise as we sing hymn number 66, O Worship the King. Number 66. I tried running the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He wanted me to get up and go to the wicked city of Nineveh and announce his judgment against it. Are you serious? Do you know how wicked those people are? So I bought a ticket and jumped on board a ship leaving to the west to this place called Tarshish. Well, that wasn't the best plan I ever had. We're sailing along and suddenly there's a tremendous storm. Gee, wonder who that came from. I was fast asleep down in the hold, and the sailors are all shouting to their gods for help. Not long till the captain wakes me and inquires, how can I sleep at a time like this? They cast lots to see which of us offended the gods, and of course I lost the toss. I fessed up, I told them I was a Hebrew. And I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. And I was, well, kind of, sort of, running away from God as far as I could. These sailors were terrified. They were scaredy cats. I mean, the mice on the ship were more braver than these guys. At least they asked what they should do to stop the storm. I knew it was my fault, so I said, just toss me overboard. The storm will calm again. Well, they didn't want to be held responsible for my death. So they start rowing harder and harder to get to the shore. But I wasn't surprised. The stormy sea was getting more and more violent. So after pleading with my God, they came to the conclusion this storm was for his own good reason. And picked me up and they tossed me over. At once, the storm stopped. The good news was those sailors offered my God a sacrifice, and they vowed to serve him. When I hit the water, I thought for sure I was a goner. I drifted further beneath the depths of the sea, and then something unusual happened. I was swallowed up by this gigantic fish. I know, it sounds like a tall fish tail. But don't be so quick to discredit this adventure because it's so hard to swallow. This is all fact. I stayed inside that fish for 3 days and three nights. I cried out to God in my trouble, and He answered me. When I had lost all hope, my thoughts turned once more to the Lord. I pleaded that I'd offer sacrifices with songs of praise, that I'd fulfill all of my vows, for I knew my salvation came from the Lord alone. He had mercy, and after the Lord's order, this great fish, Hachtalui, it spit me onto the beach. This is where we find ourselves this morning. Everyone knows the story of Jonah and the great fish. This story is told from a very small child, but it's only part of the larger story. God calls Jonah to go and preach about repentance to the city of Nineveh. Now keep in mind, these people are Israel's enemies, and Jonah, an Israelite, can't stand them. But Jonah knows that God is patient and gracious. God is giving Jonah's enemies a chance to be saved from his wrath. And he's asking Jonah to be the messenger of this good news. But Jonah, we quickly realize, doesn't want God to show them mercy. Jonah tries to sabotage the plan, but he ends up on the shores of Nineveh. It appears from the simple message Jonah gives the Ninevites, he really isn't trying all that hard to make it appealing. He merely warns the people of their impending doom. Yet, even after all his attempts to mess up the plans, the people repent and turn to God. Jonah, by no means, was within his comfort zone, but he was about to display God's glory. We pick up on the reading in Jonah 3, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time, 'Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message of judgment I have given you.' This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed.' The people of Nineveh believed God's message. And from the greatest to the least, they decided to go without food and wear sackcloth to show their sorrow. Then, in verse 10, it reads, "When God saw they had put a stop to their evil ways, He had mercy on them and didn't carry out the destruction He had threatened." This book of Jonah is a reminder that God desires to bring salvation to all sinful people, even those outside His family. Like Jonah, me too may look at a person or a group of people and pass judgment that they don't deserve God's forgiveness and grace. Yet, there's not a single person Jesus did not die on the cross for. The Boko Haram have Jesus' blood shed all over them, if only they repent and turn from their wicked ways. God, we learn, is all about the business of second chances. You see, grace is an undeserved favor. We can't earn it, but it's freely given. It simply requires a turnabout, a U-turn in our lives, a response to refuse to return to the sin that grace covers us for. We don't keep on sinning, but we know that God's grace is sufficient. It derives not from our comfort, but through God's glory. I want you to think this morning about a telephone pole. There's many in this area that kind of lean on an angle. But if that telephone pole leaning on an angle was no longer standing tall and the wires that were intact suddenly collapsed and snapped, the communication wouldn't go through. It's much like our sin in our lives. We stay at a distance from God until we confess and receive forgiveness. It's difficult to hear His voice, to love others, and to find peace. But this morning, we know that God is our refuge. We were made to be upright like that telephone pole before God. But it can take bowing down in our brokenness and letting God know our indifference. The danger in all this is we can remain in self-pity and feel that God can never forgive us. Does he know what we did? And that's exactly where the enemy wants us to be. Because in that place, we're not free. And as long as we're not free, we're unable to forgive others and move forward in our faith walk and draw closer to God. We've learned from a very young age that the most basic understanding of following Christ is that sin separates us. And what happens is we become stagnant. We become still in our faith. We get caught up in blaming ourselves. We feel like we can't do anything right. It's a dangerous place to be because we fall further and further into the grip of the enemy. Unforgiveness is a lot like saying Jesus went to the cross in vain. We're putting limits on who can be forgiven, and that's never been God's intended purpose. Jesus' death on the cross was once and for all a final act for all people. The question that we ask ourselves this morning is, what are we holding on to? I can sense that we have a desire. We have a passion to impact the community, to see people fill this place. But we really have to deal with ourselves first to be any use to God. The question is in your court. Can we honestly say we're right with him? We're right with others? If not, we have a bit of work to do. And I don't want anyone leaving this place with guilt or shame, to leave feeling like we're not free in Christ. God loves us too much to let us in that place. He longs for our freedom, so much so his son paid the price that it could be so. So what's truly holding us back from really loving others? Today can be that day we let go of past baggage. Think about it for a moment, what it would feel like not to be carrying all that extra weight. I'm encouraging you to take time to get alone with God. Perhaps we've never picked up the pieces from a broken marriage or a relationship that needs healing. My friends, it all can take place at the cross. And what I'm offering is at the end of the service, at the final hymn, if you find a heavy weight upon you, if you feel like life is at a standstill, like God is at a distance, I'll be standing right there, willing to pray with you. It's all about God's glory and its longing to be released in our lives. God loves us enough to say that he doesn't want us to remain where we are. His desire for us is to find rest in him and move forward with his blessings. Last week was such a powerful time of anointing. We took a stand together to share our stories with our community, to proclaim the news of Jesus, to invite our neighbors to find abundant love here at Little Swatara. Today, the Lord is leading us to forgiveness. Maybe there's unsettled differences between you and another brother or sister. The Lord is inviting us to make amends, to break free. This is a sacred place. There is no judgment. Perhaps you feel led to come with another individual to the cross and simply say to one another, I'm sorry. Let's move forward together with Jesus in the new year. Maybe you'd simply rather remain in your seat, and that's okay. But I'm encouraging all of us to have a heart-to-heart with God, to ask him, what do we need to do to be totally right with you? What individuals in our lives do we need to forgive? And what past hurts do we need to let go of? There's freedom. There's grace. There's mercy. There's compassion. The greatest thing we know is that our God is for us. He's not against us. But it's clear that he can't allow us to go on in sin. We need to let go of that sin that weighs us so heavily down. God, we know, had mercy over an entire city full of people. Yet we see how Jonah pouted. He didn't want the Ninevites to be forgiven. He wanted them to be destroyed. So as the story continues, God provides a plan to shade Jonah. But when the plant withered, Jonah pouts again, worried about his own comfort more so than God's glory. God used Jonah to accomplish a great task. But Jonah, he didn't get it. The Ninevites responded to God. They believed God. They repented with all seriousness. And when God sees what they did, that they had turned from their evil ways, God had compassion. He didn't destroy them. Mercy triumphed over judgment. The awesome grace of God was displayed. So God was no longer angry with Nineveh. But we learn someone else in this story remained quite angry, and his name was Jonah. Here he is, the one who knows personally the grace of God. He had just been rescued from his own grave, the belly of a great fish, and even proclaimed salvation comes from the Lord alone. Yet he couldn't really stomach what he confessed. But before we go any further, we need to get a good understanding of the situation here. The story about Jonah is not about Jonah at all. We might think it's about Jonah and this big fish, or it's about Jonah's rebellion, or it's about Nineveh's repentance. But the story is not about any of these things. It's all about the very heart of God. What we learn is that God is passionate for all people. I've said this before, but God possesses a passion for all that do not know him. God has a passion for all the people of the world, even those that are wicked and reject him. It's been said, speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret. Anger always fails us, and this is certainly true for Jonah. He's gone AWOL again, not absent without leave, but angry without love. Jonah's reaction to the repentance of Nineveh is different than what we might have expected. You would have thought he'd be leaping for joy, full of thanksgiving. But instead, he has the worst blue funk conceivable. He clearly wasn't interested in all at Nineveh's repentance. As far as he's concerned, there's some things that cannot be forgiven. A people that mutilate bodies, burn children, offer heads as trophies, deserve God's fiercest judgment. But it reads in Jonah 4:10 and onward, God is speaking. He says, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. And a plant is only at best short-lived. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. And it goes on to say, shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? It's God who hates sin, destructive evil, violence, more than we ever could. And yet he exercises patience, providing opportunity for those to repent and seek him. This is Jonah's problem. Perhaps it's ours. And for he and we, we're not seeing the world as God sees it. Jonah is not seeing himself as God sees him. Instead, Jonah values a plant, but disdains a whole nation. He's angry about the death of a plant over which he never had any control. He's absorbed in a self-centered pettiness while watching a lost nation on a one-way track to destruction. As far as he was concerned, mercy was all right for him to receive, but not for that city. So while God was into reconciliation, Jonah was into retaliation. Have we ever really not been on the same page as someone? There is a new resident. He's walking down the street, and he notices a man struggling with a washing machine at the doorway of his house. The newcomer volunteers to help, and the homeowner is overjoyed. The two men together begin to work and struggle with this bulky appliance. After several minutes of fruitless effort, the two stopped. They stared at each other in frustration. They looked as if they were on the verge of total exhaustion. Finally, when they had caught their breath, the first man said to the homeowner, "We'll never get this washing machine in there." To which the homeowner replied, "In? In? I've been trying to move it out." Doesn't get much worse of a communication breakdown. But the truth is, we only get things done when we're on the same page, when we're in agreement. We've either got to be going in or we've got to be going out. I've also found it's very good to be on the same page as God. But have you ever been upset with God's leading? We thought it would end a certain way and he chose another. We're certain that we had it all figured out and then God adds a twist. God wants us to be used to give his message to a hurting world. And when he does, may we not be like Jonah, looking the other way, getting ourselves headed in the wrong direction. But the story of Jonah ends in the presence of God. Jonah's not to be our last thought. The narrative leaves us in the presence of God. We're face to face with his love and compassion. The writer reveals God and lays down his pen. And it reads, "Should I not be concerned about that great city?" The book ends with a question that has no written answer. But an answer is expected by you and by me. We assume God loves us more than our enemies. We think to ourselves, well, at least we're not as bad as them. God must really be pleased. Friends, as soon as we fall into that type of thinking, we misunderstand the very heart of God. We don't see others or ourselves, for that matter, in the way God does. This certainly was Jonah's problem. Jonah didn't know God well enough to grieve over sin as God grieves over sin. He did not know God well enough to rejoice at the repentance of the sinner. The story of Jonah demonstrates that God isn't satisfied with mere compliance. He wants us to understand his character. He wants us to share his viewpoint. He wants us to reflect him. He wants us to love all people. God's concern is the 6.1 billion in the world, especially those who are far from him. And he uses you and he uses me to reach them. May we be humble. May we be grateful for the opportunity to share that love. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Father, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Don't let us leave, Lord, without coming to grips with our lives with you. For we know, Lord, the love that you have for us. We're praying, Lord, that you would break us free. That from this moment, it wouldn't be about our will, but it would be about your will being done. In Jesus' name, we pray that you would settle our differences. Where there's conflict, bring peace. Where there's chaos, bring order. Where we worry, bring contentment. And where there's confusion, bring clarity. Father, we submit to your lordship over our lives and we trust you to see us through these times. We look forward to what you're going to do through us. We live with expectancy and believe in your almighty power to transform not only our lives, but the lives in this community and world. Be glorified, Lord Jesus, in all that we say and do. May we leave here not the same person we came, but as a more fully devoted follower of you. Whatever you have for us, Lord, we embrace. This is your church. We are your vessels. Into your hands, we submit our lives. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we pray that you would help us to love others. Amen. Please rise for our final hymn. We have been given such amazing grace. We have been given the opportunity to share such a joy that has overwhelmed us to the depths of our souls. May we go in peace. May we find our connectedness to God to be truly right. And may we live in harmony with one another and at peace with one another. Go from this place knowing that there is a God that loves you more than you can begin to imagine. A God that has patience with you as we work through our struggles in this life. May you find him at the center of your life. Amen.